is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 439, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Oh, not a whole lot. Every now and then there's like a week where you're just like more excited sometimes to podcast. Like every now and then you're like, it's a chore. I don't want to say it's a chore, but it's all that to say I'm ready to podcast.
It is Thursday. We usually
that's it.
And we will be Thursday next week as well. So correct. We're not moving the podcast to Thursday. It just happens that this week and next week will be on Thursday. But to talk about Amazon, I have not ordered something on Amazon in a long time.
I've been not ordering like crazy, but I mean, I got like six rolls of 3D printer filament the other day.
You've been 3D printing a lot, so.
I've been 3D printing like a madman.
Yeah, I just haven't needed anything really, I guess. The thing is like when I buy something on Amazon, if it's like a home item, like toilet paper, I just like buy it in bulk.
Yeah,
and then I have it for like a very long time, so I haven't needed anything else. I buy like camera stuff or like, you know, but I haven't really needed anything else. So sorry, Amazon, haven't purchased anything. But we have a lot to talk about this week. There's been so much news specifically around GPUs, RTX 50 series. We have the missing ROPs. We have pretty much all the information that we're gonna get on the Radeon RX 9070 XT. There is official event tomorrow, so hopefully tomorrow we'll get pricing, but we have everything so far, so we're going to tell you all about that. We have two products to talk about: a really affordable Z890 motherboard and a really nice portable Bluetooth speaker. It is getting warmer, so having a Bluetooth speaker would be a great thing for the summer. Also, some leak benchmarks for RTX 5070, which comes out next week. Some details on 5060 Ti, getting a lottery so you can actually buy a 5090 and 5080, priority access, NVIDIA opened that back up. New AMD game bundle as well. So if you buy AMD product, you'll get a new game. We'll talk about that. Delidded CPUs that you can purchase. 16-pin GPU adapters that actually have active cooling. And Valve is looks like they're making another headset. So we'll talk about all that this week. Now, if you guys do want to follow along here, we do have our full show notes page that is right here that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. So if you want to follow along during the live podcast, or of course, if you are listening later and want to reference anything that we talk about, it is all right here. So we'll go ahead and start with the Gigabyte Z890 Eagle Wi-Fi 7 motherboard. And before I start, especially after Ryzen 5000 series, AMD motherboards got very expensive. Intel boards have typically had a premium, but the premium chipsets the last few generations from both AMD and Intel have been very expensive. So when I tell you that I have a Z890 motherboard that is only $219, that seems like a pretty good deal. $219
is wildly cheap, it feels like.
Yeah, it seems like it's wildly cheap. What if I was to tell you that there's really not much missing from this board? You're not getting like...
Yeah, so no... I would expect like there's not like a heat sink on M.2, or there's like no RGB lighting, or...
There's essentially everything you would want from the Z890 chipset, PCI Express 5, USB 4. You're even getting Wi-Fi 7.
Dang.
And you have heat sinks on all the M.2s. So you're getting a lot. So... this is the Gigabyte Z890 Eagle Wi-Fi 7. Eagle is their more entry level, and that goes across their entire product line. So the graphics card's the same thing. You can see what the board looks like right there. And again, you can see that we have heat sinks everywhere. It doesn't look incredibly cut down or anything like that. Not much of an accessories package. You get the Wi-Fi antenna and just some SATA cables. That's it. So no stickers or any of the other cool stuff you would get with the higher end boards. Again, looking at the board with Eagle, they've kind of gone with this like gray silk, like gray with other gray accents on the heatsink's black PCB. I think it looks fine. It doesn't jump out at you like some other higher end motherboards, but again, we are at $219 for price. So when it comes to power delivery, that is cut down from some of their higher end boards, but not by a ton. So you have a 14 plus 1 plus 2 power phase design, with the V-core phases being 60 amp. On higher end boards, the V-core phases would be 80, sometimes 90. But again, I feel like if you're looking to save money and you're not overclocking your CPU, you'll be fine. You won't have anything to really worry about. And we ran an Intel Core Ultra 285K. I almost want to say Core i9, but Core Ultra 285K on here without any issues at all. And we do get USB 3.2 Gen 2 internal header, not by 2. But we do get USB 4 on the back, which I will show you. Also, you can kind of see it in this picture, but there is a little button here. So you're going to get a quick release for your top graphics card slot. So if we look at the top graphics card slot, this button right here is connected to this slot. This slot is metal reinforced and all of that kind of fun stuff as well. Another thing that Gigabyte has done is they essentially have given this board all of their ease of use features. So all the two big heat sinks here, those are completely toolless to remove. It's just like a little lever here. You just release that. Super easy to remove and put back on the heat sinks. And then under the heat sinks, you also have these little tabs here. So you just like place your M.2 in there and it just locks into place. So completely toolless installation when it does come to your M.2s, which again, just makes life easier. And we have a total of four M.2 slots. The top is Gen 5. The bottom three are going to be Gen 4, with the bottom slot also supporting SATA M.2s. This top PCI Express slot is also Gen 5. Well, the bottom two are going to be Gen 4, and they're by 4, I believe. And this is a full X16 at the top. So yeah, like you're not really missing all that much. If we come to the rear I/O, now again, Ryan wouldn't necessarily be incredibly happy with this because he loves all of his USBs. We have four legacy USB 2.0, and then USB 3.2, Gen 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of those. And then you have the USB 4, which does support DisplayPort Alt mode. You actually have DisplayPort 2.5 gig LAN, and then your Wi-Fi and audio. The Wi-Fi is like, it's not the, yeah, everybody knows the old Wi-Fi connectors. They're like, you have to kind of screw in.
Spin them on, yeah.
You just insert it. Like, it's super simple. So again, another one of those ease of use features that Gigabyte has done there. So again, if you're thinking about a Z890 board, like what are you missing, right? There's not a whole lot missing, I would say. I would say, one, the Wi-Fi that they are using, it does not support 320 megahertz bandwidth. So Wi-Fi 7, a lot of the higher end Wi-Fi 7 chips will support 320 megahertz bandwidth. This only supports 160. So that's one thing to keep in mind. You can't fully take advantage of Wi-Fi 7, but I don't think a lot of people will necessarily.
Yeah, you still got to have a router that's Wi-Fi 7. You know, you got to have everything else. So.
And like I said, I think you're not getting a ton of USB connectivity on the back. You get one USB 4, but there's no USB 3.2 Gen 2x2.
No, I think this board gives you a ton of value, especially, like you said, for $219.
Yeah. There is lighting,
it's too. It's got some lighting.
Yeah, so like, you do get lighting. So where the Eagle is on the rear I/O cover, that lights up with some RGB lighting. Then on the edge of the board, it says game on right here, and that lights up, but then it will give some underglow as well. So if you like, it will give like this nice little underglow. And then the larger heatsink here has some RGB lighting, and I have a massive graphics card on there, and you'll still be able to see it. So, and it has like more RGB lighting than some other high-end boards that I've taken a look at. So you get all that, plus you get the RGB headers. Like, there's not a whole lot missing in this. Their BIOS is pretty good as well. I did a full BIOS video if you want to check that out. That's on our YouTube, as well as in the article itself. And overall, I think for $219, you really can't go wrong, especially if you're running any Core Ultra processor where you're just going to leave it stock. You're just going to leave it stock. You're not going to worry about anything else. This will be a solid choice. It gives you everything that you want. And again, if you see, you know, some other boards are $549, you know, even some boards are $800, right? The amount of savings can go towards faster drive. So getting that Gen 5 NVMe instead of the Gen 4, or even getting a Gen 4 instead of like a Gen 3, getting more memory, getting a better graphics card, like that money can go a lot of other places. And I really like this board. I gave it a 9 out of 10 in our good value award. The VRM, again, if you were doing overclocking, it might not satisfy your needs, but for most people it's fine. And then just again, Wi-Fi 7 doesn't support 320 megahertz. So that's basically it. But I think solid board overall. Mm-hmm. So definitely go ahead and check that review out, because it is one of the best value Z890 motherboards that you're going to find. Now, moving over to something completely different, I took a look at a Bluetooth speaker from Tribit. This is like my third or fourth one from them. And if you're out, you're with friends, you're at the pool party, you're at the beach, wherever you may be in the summertime, you want a Bluetooth speaker, right? You want to share the tunes, you want to have a good time with your friends. And these sort of cylindrical style Bluetooth speakers are great if they sound good. This actually sounds really, really good. The best part about it is that it is waterproof. So you're at the pool, you're at the beach, mm-hmm. you have this in your ATV and you're going around and getting wet and doing all that kind of stuff. You don't have to worry about this getting damaged at all. You know, and this puts out a lot of power, 24-hour battery life on this as well. Has that sort of fabric. A lot of these Bluetooth speakers have like this outer fabric. Yep. Feels really good in the hand. Large buttons on the front so you can do everything. There's also buttons on the back here. Connects via Bluetooth, no problem. Has an X-Base mode, which actually sounds really, really good. And then this sort of button right here, this allows you to connect multiple of these together for even better sound. So if you have another Tribit speaker, it doesn't have to be this exact one. Anything in like the second gen of Tribit speakers will be able to connect to this. So you can connect multiple of them together. USB-C for charging. And then you can also connect this to, you know, an audio device via 3.5 millimeter if you wanted to. So really solid speaker, sounded really, really good. And it even comes with an app as well. So if you go into the app, it's going to give you your battery life and you can play pause and you can do all of that stuff. But it has a full equalizer in there as well that you can preset EQs, but you can also make your own EQ. It also allows you to update the firmware and do all of that. So really solid speaker, and it's not all that expensive either. These can easily go well over $100, but this is $69.99, making it very competitive against something like a JBL or some of the similar other ones. Just a great speaker, and I'm glad I got it as it's getting nice and warm here in San Diego. So just great thing to have, throw in the bag for the beach. So if you're interested, check that review out. And we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And we have a build this week from AK Mod, who we actually got to meet at CES in January. And he does incredibly good work. And this is another one of those just amazing builds that's essentially like a piece of art. So this is it's themed after a game called Odin Valhalla Rising, which I believe is like a big MMO. Very sort of Viking sort of themed. And there essentially is a whole PC in here, which is really, really cool. So if we take a look at some of these photos, you can see, man, that's just Imagine that's just like sitting on your desk.
Yeah, like total art piece. So are there like components? I didn't take a look at this very closely. Yeah. It looks like there's components up top and below. So there's probably connectivity like in between where that hammer probably meets the base. That's really cool.
Yeah, because I assume there's like radiators or some type of cooling in the air. The cooling's
down below, and then the components. Yeah, okay.
So we components are mistakes. Yeah, components yep. are in.
And I see bits power and some fittings there. It looks like so definitely liquid cooled.
Yeah.
Huh.
Pretty cool.
That's really cool. Oh, he's got his AK mod at the top. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Just such a crazy art piece. I always like featuring these ones because a lot of people think like case modding has to be done inside of a case, and these just show like the craftsmanship of some of the builders out there, what they can do. And like I've said this multiple times, like this could be in a movie set. Like that's how awesome all of this looks. Like it's just,
is that his like work area too? It's so clean back there in the background, like all the tools lined up, and he's got nice lighting for it, man.
Yeah, that's what you do, Ryan. You gotta take notes. You got all that stuff behind you.
Yeah, clean it up.
But yeah, such an awesome build. Definitely check this one out. And again, shout out to AK Mod for this one because it just looks amazing. Love featuring his stuff. So really cool build there. We'll move on to news, and we'll first start, I guess, with the Radeon RX 9070 XT and 9070. AMD, of course, is going to have their event tomorrow or their live stream or whatever they're doing to talk about these graphics cards and give some information. What we know so far, that the Radeon RX 9070 is reported to be 42% faster than the RX 7900 GRE at 4K resolution. So that is pretty good considering initially we said we thought it was going to be on par with the 7900 GRE. So, but here's the thing is that we don't know, just like with NVIDIA, we don't know if this 42% faster is real frames, fake frames. Because again, NVIDIA told us, was it the 5070 or 5070 Ti? It was the 5070. They said that that was as powerful as the 4090, which is definitely not true. So we don't know if this 42% faster is pure raster or if it is, you know, with their upscaling tech and all of that. So we'll see if that is actually the case. 9070 XT total board power is 304 watts, while the 9070 is 220 watts. Both models will have 16 gigabytes of GDDR6, which definitely makes sense as they're going to be pretty close. And 16 gigabytes is like, if you did want to mess around with certain AI things, you kind of need 16 gigabytes. Full rundown of specs. This is, again, speculative, but the 9070 XT will have 64 compute units, while the 9070 will have 56. For stream processors, you're going to get 4,096 for the 9070 XT and 3,584 for the 9070. Game clock is 2,400 megahertz on the 9070, 2,070 megahertz on the 9070. Boost clock on the 9070 XT will be 2,970 megahertz. And on the 9070 non-XT will be 2,540. We've talked about board power, memory. Both memory buses are 256-bit. And, of course, this is a PCI Express 5 card. We don't know pricing. I really hope they give us pricing tomorrow.
Yep.
We haven't seen, like an official leak of pricing either, which is very weird. And again, they're not lining this up necessarily. If they're going to tell us pricing tomorrow, they're not necessarily lining this up with release of the 5070, you know. But we already know pricing at 5070. I don't know. What are you thinking? What are you thinking for this?
I mean, like you said, I hope we see it. The pricing that was kind of speculated down below was like, what, 700 for the XT?
Yeah.
I wish they could be a little more aggressive on it just to like just really punch home the value of their card and like give, you know, I think what's really going to like matter here is like price is important, but availability is probably going to be even more important. Yeah. If they've got availability at a slightly higher price than people want, that's probably going to be good enough, because if you can buy this card and you can get it at that price, people are going to buy it.
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest things is going to, I mean, price obviously, but availability, because if there's nothing else, right?
Right.
If this, if it's 42% faster at 4K than the 7900 GRE, it should technically compete against the 5070 Ti, which not a whole lot of availability. So right. If they can get availability at launch, and again, not just like the day of launch, like we want it throughout.
Afterwards.
Availability
is just such a sore spot. I was thinking about it a little bit, like on a drive to work the other day, and just thinking about like a new launch for like an iPhone or something, right? Like, sure, you might have a little bit of availability issues like the first couple days, but then like a week later or whatever, you can go into Best Buy or Verizon or wherever and get the phone you want.
Yeah.
At the price it's supposed to be sold at, right?
Yeah, I think.
Same thing with so many other things. GPUs, we just like, nope, you don't get that.
Yeah, it's very really odd. Frustrating. It is very odd, because you would think, I actually put up a short video on social today about it. Like, you would think NVIDIA would know. Obviously, these cards all through 5090, 5080, 5070 Ti, like people want these cards. It's upgrade time. You know how much volume, you have an idea. Like, NVIDIA is not a small company. Oh, you know, like you can see past launch sales. You can see you have people, market forecasters. You have everything to know.
Use some of that AI that your ships can do and figure out how many of these damn things to make.
That's the thing. It's like, where are the GPUs here? You know, mm-hmm. You knew. So I think that's the biggest thing with the 9070 and 9070 XT will be availability. That's the biggest factor. Price and performance kind of follow right after. If this does compete with the 5070 Ti in pure raster, not in fake frames and all that, it will be very compelling.
Sure.
Well, what's the price of the 5070 Ti? 790?
Wasn't it 750?
749?
729.
I reviewed it. I should probably know.
I know. You should know.
Let's see here. 5070 Ti. Where am I at here? 5070.
Because I had gotten 5070 pricing wrong.
So 749.
Yeah.
So if they do 699, that's a $50 cheaper. Same performance. Sure. That's compelling, right?
Oh, yeah.
$50 cheaper, same kind of performance, maybe trading blows, depending on
title. I think even if it's a little less performance, but they've got availability.
Because you're not finding a 5070 Ti for $749.
Right. With no 5070 or 5070 Ti, you're getting 0 frames per second.
Yeah.
With a 9070 XT, you're getting whatever.
Yeah, so I think tomorrow's going to be really interesting. I can't wait to get the price. I think that's the biggest fact. One of the biggest factors beyond availability is going to be that price, because I think because AMD is only doing 2 SKUs, 9070, 9070 XT, they have to be aggressive with price because they want to sell volume, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think it needs to be $50, at least $50 cheaper, at least. And then, of course, you have like AIB cards and all this other going into all of that. But at least like the base models, non-overclocked models, whatever they are, should be, $699. But we'll see. But talking about that 42% faster, that was leaked from a deck. From an AMD deck. I'm just going to show you the picture here. Like, this is from a deck. So now there's no like little asterisk that says, nope. You know, FSF or FSR4 or anything. Yeah, so
just average across 30 plus games. So
that's compelling. Yeah. But again, I remember, and I talked about this on the podcast before. I was so excited for that R9 Radeon R9 Nano that was supposed to be so great, and then it was not. So I'd like with all of this stuff, I think the biggest thing is to wait for reviews to come out. That's going to be your biggest determining factor. We've learned that with the 50 series. But as far as what also we know, as far as like cards and things like that, all of XFX is Radeons have been leaked. So we can take a look at those. The models are going to be their Mercury Magnetic Air, white version of that, a Mercury white, Quicksilver and white, and then a Swift and a Swift white. And if you want to look at these really quickly, we can kind of go through and take a look at the cards. I think the white looks nice. I'm always a big fan of white.
Looks pretty good. I've been a fan. I know we're talking XFX right now, but I'm really liking that sapphire card that we've kind of seen.
Yeah, that sapphire card that's been kind of leaked. That one does look really nice.
But I do like these white version cards. They're pretty sweet.
So those are all the cards there from XFX, and then gaming PCs featuring the RX 9070. Were leaked or put up on Newegg, $17.99 for this AVGPC. So it's a Ryzen 7 9700X, the 9070 XT, 32 gigabytes of DDR5, 1 terabyte NVMe, AIO in there. I assume it comes with all the fans that we're seeing.
It says 60 millimeter AIO. I'm guessing that's 360, but I mean, $1,800 seems pretty good for all of that.
Yeah, not a bad deal. And you can see a handful of other ones. I buy power in there as well. That's a 9070. That's a non XT. Mm. That's a non XT.
Yep.
Not bad pricing. I think that's the biggest thing with this launch is that you kind of want you want a under $2,000 PC, right?
Yeah.
That's still an under $2,000 PC that's not like a Ryzen 5 or something like that, or a i5. You want something a bit higher. So we'll see. Again, I think hopefully tomorrow we'll get pricing. Don't know that for sure, but that will be a pretty interesting thing there as well. The other big story beyond all the leaks of the Radeon RX 9070 and 9070 XT was there are a handful of graphics cards from the RTX 50 series that are missing ROPs.
This is not good.
This was, I believe, initially discovered by Tech Power Up, and then it kind of blew up from there as far as people are checking their graphics cards to see if they have the total ROP count that they are supposed to have. And it's, I feel like we can't have a graphics card launch without something. I mean, with NVIDIA, it's like
melting power,
components. This launch, and then like
half a gig of VRAM doesn't count.
It seems like there's always something. So this first was reported on an RTX 5090, right? So this was first reported on RTX 5090 from the screenshot. Screenshot, it's supposed to have 176 ROPs, but Tech Power Up had one that only had 168 ROPs. And they showed the impact difference. And it does make an impact. It does make an impact on games. We'll go into the total impact here in a second, but just to show you the graphs, it is not necessarily great that you're losing performance. So that's on the 5090. So that's the 5090. And then there was a report of a 5080. So 5080 is affected as well. This is not all of them. And again, we'll get into that. But the 5080 was affected as well. And somebody showed this one, which again, the 5080 is supposed to have 112 ROPs. And then again, the GPU validation here shows it only having 104 ROPs. So the 5080 is affected. And then the 5090D is also affected in China. And then finally, the 5070 Ti is also affected. So the 5070 Ti is supposed to have 96 ROPs. There's affected cards that show it having 88 drops. And I have, let me find the article that shows the performance differences that you would see. So yeah, performance impact here. On the 5090, it's up to 5% performance impact. On the 5080, it's up to 12% performance impact. And again, these are people who have tested the cards. In the 5070 Ti, up to 11% performance impact. So imagine you're lucky enough to get one of these cards, and now it's affected, right? And now it's missing what it's advertised to have. Right. Now, NVIDIA did issue a statement, and they said that 0.5%, or half of a percent of the total RTX 5090, 5090D, 5080, and 5070 Ti GPUs have this issue. And they say that affected customers can contact the board manufacturer for a replacement. How upset would you be?
I'd be pissed. Like, I would want to, you're paying for all of them. I want all of them, right? Even yep. though, like, those percentages aren't enormous. I mean, 12% is a pretty big drop. You look at some of those graphs, though, and you're like, okay, this is like 3-frame difference, 4-frame difference, but it's like it doesn't matter. Like, you should be getting what you're paying for. I wonder what they're going to do with these cards that, you know, like.
Well, here's the thing that I worry about, right? Mm-hmm. You get an effective card, you want a replacement. When is that replacement coming in?
Right. Because they still gotta sell new cards.
Well, the issue is there's no cards available. Like,
right. That's what I mean.
There's, especially in the higher end SKUs, you know, the higher end 5090s, like, there's no cards available at all. So do they want you to send, here's the thing.
Oh, there's no way I'd be sending that thing in before I get a replacement.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing. It's like, I'm not sending this in and then waiting 3 months for a replacement. I would be very upset, you know, but like, is there going to be a company, you know, Asus, MSI, Gigabyte, Zotac, Palette, you know, all of them, are they going to be like, well, we need you to send the card in so we can inspect it.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. And then it's like, oh yeah, like your thing, like you just see your RMA status and it's in status for like months because there's no availability.
Yeah, that'd be horrible.
That's my concern with this. I would hope that you can send them a GPU Z screenshot.
And they can verify it. Yeah.
And they can verify it and then be like, okay, we're going to send you a replacement. Send the other card back in the box that we send you.
Right, right.
I hope that's the process. If that's not the process, that's not good. Yep. But yeah, just another one of those launches. I don't think like there's just any good launch at all anymore.
Not lately.
Yeah. So that was like the big story. Also, talking about upcoming NVIDIA graphics cards, we have RTX 5070 benchmarks. These are leaked benchmarks, pre-release driver, so keep all that in mind. 20% performance over the RTX 4070, but it does fall short against the RTX 4070 Ti and RTX 4070 Super with an 18% performance gap. And you can kind of see, and these are just in like Vulkan and OpenCL scores. So not necessarily, you know, like this is Geekbench and this is not necessarily like a definitive GPU benchmark either, but it does give you an idea of certain performance. I always say, take all this with a grain of salt. And again, next week you'll see all the reviews come out. So I'm not taking any of this with really any. I'm not taking any of these results necessarily seriously. And again, pre-release and all that kind of stuff. 5060 Ti. So we have some details on specs and release time. This is a card that a lot of people might be looking at again, just for price and hopefully maybe availability. The big thing is that, one, there's going to be two variants, 16 gig and 8 gig. And the 16 gig will come in late March, so the end of next month. And then the 8 gig will be available in April. 180 watt board power on this. It will use GDDR7. Again, this is all speculative. Price between $400 and $500. So again, a really good card for mid-range. Probably be a really good 1080p card. Any thoughts on this card?
I don't like the price for a 1080 card, but yeah. As long as they keep the designation of 16 gig or 8 gig clear on their marketing and packaging, yeah, I'm fine with it.
Yep. And like you have to think too, like DLSS4 is going to play a big part in this too. Right.
Pump
so if you up. Did want to, yeah, help those numbers get really high frames and certain things, it's definitely going to help.
I don't see any issue with it. And other thing, than if, like price,
if you want to, there'll probably be $50 difference. If you want to save $50, you get the 8 gig. If you don't think you're going to make use of the 16 gigs,
yeah,
makes sense. So that is everything on the 5060 Ti. Like we've talked about, there's no RTX 5080s or 5090s available. So NVIDIA has revived their priority access, which essentially allows you to get a spot to purchase an RTX 5080 or 5090. So it's available to anybody who creates an NVIDIA account before January 30th, 2025. You fill out the form, express your interest, and then it'll be one card per person. Selection, of course, is not guaranteed, and you'll buy directly from NVIDIA, which is supposed to bypass scalpers in inflated prices.
Yeah, not bad. I like this, right? They set a date. Like, it's not like they announce it and then people can sign up for it or bots can sign up for these accounts. They had to be around since January 30th, which... it's kind of like pretty current, right? Because I can imagine that a lot of accounts were created back when they did this previously. So those accounts, even if they were used for resellers or bots, like can use those older accounts, but it keeps newer, you know, bulk accounts from being created and taking advantage of this. So
yeah,
anything they can do to help out is great.
Yeah, I like this. I think it just makes sense for NVIDIA to know kind of what's going on and be like, okay, if you want to buy directly from us, you know, when we have cards available, you can get in and buy and at MSRP. So that's a good thing as well. Would you ever consider getting that 5080? Founders Edition, $1,000.
Yeah, maybe. If it was right at MSRP, possibly. Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, you're buying directly from NVIDIA, so
yeah.
Maybe you should get on this priority access.
I hope I've got an account.
You should. Don't you have?
I know I do.
Yeah. Most people should have an NVIDIA account because you typically for the NVIDIA app or GeForce, you would have an NVIDIA account. That's just typically how most people do. Which really makes it easy too. You log in, you have all your game settings and everything. So if you build a new system, like everything's kind of brought over.
Pull it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is nice. So Asus is sort of doing the same thing. So they're launching a lottery for their RTX 5090 and 5080 graphics cards. It's sort of like the same thing. It's exclusive to their ROG Elite Rewards members. And it's pretty simple. You sign up for the ROG Elite Rewards program. It's free. It's not like something you have to pay to join or whatever. And then you go to the raffle page and choose what GPU you want, and then or you can select both if you want the 5090 or 5080. And then you'll get an entry for this lottery to be able to purchase, not win, purchase a graphics card. Like I said, we saw this with Zotac selling cards directly on their Discord. I think all of this makes sense. At the end of the day, while a sale is a sale and it doesn't matter necessarily on the books, I think a lot of these companies do want their cards in the hands of gamers. They don't want them in the hands of scalpers because they want their actual real customer to enjoy
right
the car.
Yeah. Yeah, they want a good experience for, like you said, their real customer, and then like build on that good experience. So the next time they're ready to buy another card, hey, I'm going to go back to, you know, whoever I got it from, because it was a good experience for me and I was able to get one. So yeah, they want to make sure they get them.
Yeah.
As return customers.
Yeah. We have links to everything, and same thing with the NVIDIA thing. In the articles are the links for priority access and then for this and everything. So if you want to sign up and get in, it might be one of the only ways, at least probably for the next month or so. I honestly have no clue when new stock is coming in, but I know that everything is very short. Like, there's not a whole lot of availability on anything. So this is one way to go ahead and get a card. If you want to, if you were looking at a 5090 or 5080, this would be one way to get it. But nothing's guaranteed either. So yeah. So just keep all of that in mind. If you are going to go ahead and think about picking up a Radeon graphics card instead of NVIDIA, or even a CPU, a newer AMD CPU, they have a new game bundle. And this one is going to give you Monster Hunter Wilds, which is a brand new game. So it's eligible for Ryzen CPUs and Radeon GPUs and select laptops. So CPUs start at the 9950X and go down to all the way down to the Ryzen 7 7700. So most new Ryzen processors back to the 7000 series will be available for this bundle. The GPUs will be 7700, 7800, 7900, 7900 XTX. It's weird the 7900 GRE is not on here.
Yeah, that's kind of odd.
I would assume the 9070 and 9070 XT would be added to this list when they come out. And then Ryzen laptops. So anything featuring a Ryzen AI 9300 newer processor, or the 700HX, or the 7000X3D series, or the 8000 series APUs, all of that will be eligible. So pretty nice that we're getting a game, a pretty highly anticipated game too.
Yeah.
With it, this used to be commonplace.
Bundle Rooski. I know, we're getting it back, right?
Yeah. Maybe we're getting more incentive here. We're clawing back some of what we used to get.
Last one I got was when I bought my, GTX 970. I got, oh my gosh, Witcher 3.
Ah, okay. So, yeah. So nice game bundle. We have a link to the actual page if you want to see if your product does qualify. But again, definitely nice. So delidding CPUs, that's where you take the IHS or the heatsink off of the CPU and you apply something like liquid metal or whatever, right? It looks like Thermal Grizzly is going to offer delidded CPUs that do come with a warranty. So that's the biggest thing. So like when you delid your CPU, you void your warranty. Mm-hmm. And there's delidding tools and all of that. And it does give you better performance thermally. That's why a lot of people do it. But now you can buy a delid CPU that does come with a warranty. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they handle that warranty, because that heat spreader like does a lot to protect these components that are now exposed due to the delidding process, and too much pressure, you know, from tightening down a heat sink or a water block can quickly ruin the processor. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle stuff like that.
Yeah, it will be very, very interesting. But it's a 2-year warranty. You know, they have the video here. Currently, they're going to start with the Ryzen 7 9800X3D for $679. That's completely delidded. Who used to do this? But it was for overclocked. What was the name of that?
Oh, company? there was that company that offered them.
You could get they weren't delidded, but they were highly binned CPUs that you could buy that were guaranteed to hit a certain overclock.
They don't do it anymore.
They closed. This is sort of kind of like the same thing. But good to see. Like I said, I like this kind of stuff. If this is what you want to do and maybe you don't want to try to delid yourself, this, and it gives you peace of mind, right? You're not just buying the delidded CPU. You are getting a warranty, which again gives you that peace of mind. So,
and you're not doing it yourself, like buying Der Bauer's tool and delidding it yourself, and you know, let them take that.
I believe Der Bauer works Thermal Grizzly now, and he might be the one doing that. I don't know, but yeah, really cool. I like it. I'm definitely a fan of it because like I said, I like stuff like that. If that's what you want to do. I'm more for the peace of mind beyond anything. Talking about peace of mind, this is like a great transition here. RTX 50 series, RTX 4090, melting 12 VHPWR power connections, blowing cards up. It's all happened. And with the 5090 as well. So somebody has created a 16-pin GPU adapter, which actually looks pretty awesome. Now this is a render. But it has active cooling. So if you had a Gen 5 NVMe SSD that had that little fan that sounded like a rocket, now your GPU connector can also sound like a rocket because you have this active cooling fan on it. But this is actually pretty cool. It shows you how much wattage and the temperature.
Is this real or is this just a render?
You can buy it.
Oh, you can. Okay.
I'm pretty sure you can buy it.
All right.
Let's see. Yeah.
Taobao.
Yeah. It's in Chinese. It's like a Chinese. Nope.
Yeah.
But I can buy it now. Maybe I should buy it.
Okay.
229 yen. Do the calculation there, right?
Okay. Let me just think here.
Just go to xe.com.
Hang on. How many yen?
229.
There's no way. Japanese yen to it's 229 yen is $1.53.
That can't be right.
Exactly.
Let me see. What happens when I hit buy it now? I have to log in. Yeah, it can't be that cheap. Maybe it's. I mean, that's yen, right?
Yeah, I just looked to verify. Yeah. I mean, there's no way it's $1.53. So.
Let me.
Even if it was 2,200 yen, that's only $15. That's not enough.
Yeah, that can't be right. Yeah, it says that definitely can't be right. Well, in any case, I don't know what the pricing is or anything like that. Maybe they charge you a lot for delivery. I don't know. But somebody did make it. And I think having the actual readout for the wattage is super, like, that's definitely great. And the temperature is also really good, so you can kind of see what's going on. And I think this would look actually really good in your system.
Yeah.
Now, I don't believe it's going to fit. Like, it's not going to fit on...
That's what I was wondering. Is like the vertical...
The router... It's not going to fit on the Founders Edition cards.
Right.
I don't believe so, but it would fit on pretty much any other AIB card, the way the connector is.
Yeah, probably.
But like I said, I do think... it looks good.
Yeah.
I'd buy one. Just like for testing in general, like I'd buy one. Especially if it's a dollar, but it's definitely not a dollar. but yeah, it's pretty cool. I thought that was pretty cool. But like the fan definitely concerns me, like sound wise. But again, for peace of mind, keeping that connector cool, not melting, you know. But again, I don't know, like the melting and the power surges and stuff, active cooling still might not fix that.
Right.
So, but like I said, pretty cool little thing there. Now we'll move on to gaming and VR. You have a VR headset, right?
Yep.
Which one do you have?
The Vive, the original.
The original. Mm-hmm. And what was the other?
Base station, right?
Okay. What was the didn't Valve come out with another?
Yeah, it was just
what's it
Index,
called?
The Valve Index.
Is that what it was called? Yeah, Valve Index. When did that come out? Came out in 2019. Valve Index came out in 2019, right? So they are going to, looks like they're working on a second VR headset. Obviously, will be a follow-up. It's been, 6 years? So this is the Valve Deckard VR headset. It's supposed to come out late 2025, so maybe for holiday time. $1,200 standalone, aims to compete with existing high-end VR offerings. And it will obviously integrate with Steam's library. Are you at all interested in VR anymore?
Yeah, I am because, and I've been thinking about it more lately about, hey, I need to get that out. My room is just like, I got too much going on in here. And
you always have a lot going on there.
I always got a lot going on here. So I should really just move it out into the living room and where I've got plenty of space for it. Yeah, so it's exciting to me. I haven't used any of the headsets like the Meta Quest, right? Any of them. So current gen or older that have onboard processing, right? Yeah. My HTC Vive, which is the first, Valve headset, it requires connectivity to my PC, right? All the processing's happening there and it's just a head mounted display. The nice thing about that is like you get a great graphics card running it and you get a great experience. So I guess I'd have to see exactly how it performs because that is a lot of performance you got to have strapped to your head.
Do you think that, with Valve's experience with the Steam Deck and AMD's That's newer true. Offerings and even Nvidia's newer offerings in that,
yeah,
we see all these portable gaming handhelds, right? And there's so much going into those and everybody has one. And the fact that everybody has one also means that it's not crazy expensive to do a powerful little machine. So if you had that type of hardware and something like this for $1,200, yep. It's definitely compelling. Sure. That was my biggest hang up on the VR thing initially when it was like this really big thing was that I got to have this cable connected to my PC and, and we saw what Apple did with, what was their headset called? But that Vision thing was Pro. Like $3,500 or something.
Yeah, it's $3,500. Apple Vision
Pro. So, yeah, well, we'll see. I think people will be excited about it. I think when Valve does something, people definitely pay attention.
Yeah, I think it's just been so expensive and it's just an additional, like, it's not required and there's not just that thing yet that everybody, has to just get onto it, right? People aren't ready to move away from their phone to this,
their phone or their PC their PC. So if this is going to be your gaming machine, people aren't necessarily moving on from their PC for this either.
MetaQuest has done a good job of getting people to, I guess, adopt it because it's not crazy expensive anymore. The performance is pretty good, right? Like they've made leaps and bounds of improvements in that product line. So when I see $1,200 here compared to like a MetaQuest 3 pricing, that scares me a little bit. But if it's got X amount more performance and quality, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like I said, we'll see. The thing is that Valve, PC gamer, like I said, their market, even for the Steam Deck, is gamers, right? So, you're not going to get people to replace their PC for this.
No.
But if you make it so it could be like, again, that's why like the portable gaming console or the handheld game, like that's why they're so popular right now because somebody can take that with them. They can play it on in transit or on their break or something like that and still get really good performance. So if you could make this so it's like you could break it down and it fits in a little, like the same kind of size, sort of, that would be kind of cool. You just like play this on your break. I don't know. We'll have to see. I think the biggest thing, what do you want from Valve? Well, if you could get Valve to do anything, what would it be?
I don't know. I would still be happy with like using my gaming PC for the compute and just give me a really good screen with a decent battery on it, right? So I can play for a extended amount of time and really good wireless connectivity to my GPU.
Yeah.
Right. Give me that. It's lightweight. I don't have to have any processing power. I don't have to have a lot of heat or weight, you know, that's like making my movements sluggish or just like more labored. But give me the processing power of my computer that I've spent the money on and everything. That would be what I would want.
I think, like I said, the biggest thing I want from Valve is Half-Life 3.
Okay.
Well, that's what everybody wants.
Yeah.
But I would say scrap the headsets.
Forget these headsets. Let's
make Half-Life 3. We've talked about this so many times on this podcast. Is it ever going to happen?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, we kind of said the same thing about GTA 6.
Like, is it ever going to happen? It's coming.
It'll be here.
So we'll see if Half-Life, if we get... Yeah, well, like I am actually kind of interested in this headset. So we'll see. You know, end of this year, coming into holiday, we probably will see more leaks as we get closer. So we'll keep you guys kind of updated on all of that. Now, as far as what we have coming up next week, Ryan's taking a look at a new mouse. So this is from HyperX. This is their PulseFire Haste 2 Pro, which is a 4K gaming mouse. Lightweight too, right? Yeah, 61 grams.
Lightweight, gray color scheme, right? My daily driver is the PulseFire Haste 2 wireless. So this is just kind of an enhanced and improved version of that. So yeah, have that next week.
Nice. And then I will be, so since our podcast will be on Thursday, I will be reviewing the RTX 5070. So we'll have all the details on all of that. Be testing that throughout this weekend, getting everything together so we can do a review and a video on launch day for that. So that's pretty much what I'll be working on. But I have a lot of cool stuff here as well. I'll be getting in a lot of new products. So lots of stuff coming up in the upcoming weeks. Now, we did talk about it a little bit for our question of the week. So each week we ask a question. Sometimes we pull you guys for a question. But I thought this question, because again, we'll know tomorrow. And I kind of talked about it a little bit, but Ryan, what do you think the price of the Radeon RX 9070 XT will be?
I won't be surprised if it's like, you know, like you said, $699, $700. But I'm going to hope for like a, I don't know, a $650. I think that's probably too low though. I think that's wishful thinking.
I would love $650,
especially if they've got like tons of availability, like we said earlier, like they will get away with a little less performance than Nvidia. As long as they've got availability, they can get away at a $700 price point, no problem.
Yeah, I think it would be a $50 difference. I think realistically, it has to be, just because it's AMD. They're only putting out one SKU. It has to be that $50 cheaper, in my opinion. Yeah. Like you, I would love to see, you know, $649, right? $649, yeah. Definitely. And again, if performance is on par with the 5070, it essentially undercuts that so much. It's very affordable. And if they get the availability, it's going to be a killer. And maybe, again, we've seen this, you know, AMD took on Intel with Ryzen, and it took a little bit. But now you look at Intel, you look at AMD, and you see everybody's choosing AMD CPUs. Yep. You know, maybe this is their thing. Okay, we can't compete across all these SKUs, but at this price point, this is where we want to compete, and this is where we're going to do all of our volume. You know,
that's a huge customer base too at that level.
Yeah. And we've seen what AMD has done also with their mobile chips and how good of an experience it all really is. So they always say, like, maybe this is AMD playing like 5D chess on GPUs, you know? We'll have to see. I honestly don't know. I would really, really like it to compete against the 5070 Ti, just because, yeah, at the 5090 level, that's $2,000 card. You know, you're not going to necessarily compete. 5080 is a, kind of like the same thing. It's still a $1,000 card, and there's no competition. But as you come down, there needs to be competition, at least in the mid-range. There just has to be, because if there's only one company, it just doesn't lead to innovation. It doesn't lead to better performance gen over gen, because they just get lazy. So I really hope that it's at least competitive against the 5070 Ti too. It's just, has to be. That's kind of how I feel about it. I don't know. But it's likely, because I always have so much wishful thinking, and I know you do too. It's likely going to be, again, $699. But you do get a game. You'll get the Monster Hunter Wilds.
That's true. So, I mean, we can be wishful, but we also have to be realistic, right? Like,
yeah.
You can't be outlandishly.
We'll see the rest of everything. Hopefully, like I said, tomorrow, and we'll have articles on the site talking about everything as we get that information tomorrow. So it'll be pretty exciting. So stay tuned for all of that on the site. Now, as we come to the end, we talk about anything else tech related, movies, tech, anything cool you've done lately, Ryan?
Just printing, like I kind of said. Oh, we had a question in chat real quick.
Says, what kind, it's from Phased RC. What kind of build would you guys suggest for 3D programming that would be useful for a couple of years? Do those top tier GPUs make sense for rendering or overkill? It kind of depends on what rendering you're doing. I'm not necessarily familiar with like what you mean by 3D programming.
I'm guessing something like, you know, Blender or Fusion 360 or something like that is.
Yeah, I think
those they'll make a difference.
Yeah, they'll definitely make a difference, especially when it comes to like Blender and some of those other ones. You can load so much onto VRAM and do in encoding and things like that. Honestly, when it comes to your build, it really comes down to how much you want to spend, right? Because you could do a RTX 5090. $2,000 just GPU and then go from there. It really depends on what you're trying to do and how much you really want to spend on graphics, like how much you want to spend total on your system. And I think at this point you should at least wait till tomorrow if you're looking to buy, because you'll at least get prices of the 9070 XT as well.
Yeah, it's just another option for your, you know, compare against. And
yeah, I think that kind of makes sense. But if you have any other follow-up questions, let us know. But I think, yeah, I think it just depends on how much you want to spend, because you can build a crazy system for like $20,000, but is that going to make a difference in your workflow, all that kind of stuff? So, but yeah, like I said, I was telling you this, I started watching Andor on Disney Plus, Star Wars. And I always like, as much as Star Wars has kind of declined, it is still fun to watch a show in that universe. I think pretty good. It's all right. It's like I said, it's pretty good so far. But beyond that, I'm just working on GPU reviews, rebuilding some systems, and working on getting content out.
I guess that's true. I have all the components now to build the new all-in-one cooler test rig, right? So I'm updating that for all of those cooler reviews. So in the next review that I get out, it will be built on that new system. So that's a 7600X, right?
Yeah.
And a new motherboard, some DDR5.
I know, we're finally upgrading you. You're on if you guys don't know, Ryan's test system for the four AIOs was on a first gen Ryzen 1800 X, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so we finally upgraded a B850 motherboard from ASRock.
Yep.
So it'll be new upgrade, bringing Ryan current. And I figured we should go AMD, because I feel like everybody's now is buying AMD. So do the AMD, so you know he can show you installation on AMD and all that kind of stuff too. So
yeah.
But yeah, that is essentially it for this week, guys. Thanks everybody for coming out. And of course, Phased RC in the chat. We will be playing some, what are we playing this week?
Well, there's a new map in Marvel Rivals. There's two new playable characters. We got the Thing and Human Torch. I hadn't had a chance to play since it came out earlier in the week, so I played yesterday.
I'll play with you.
The new map was a lot of fun. I didn't like playing against Thing. I just haven't had much time to play with against him and like figure out how to play against him. Human Torch, I think I had one game where I played against him, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. So I think we'll start with Rivals and then probably move to Apex later.
Okay, so that will be over on Twitch. That's where we view all of our gaming streams. So if you want to continue hang out, it's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. And remember, guys, next week, it's not going to be on Wednesday. It is going to be on Thursday. And again, we'll be lots to talk about because we'll have our RTX 5070 review and essentially all the information when it comes to pricing on the Radeon RX 9070 XT. So until next week, catch you guys later.